in chapter 11. Turn over here. We'll pick up our consideration of this headship of Christ, how it's manifested in our lives or how it's manifested in the Scripture and should be manifested in our lives. We honor the Lord in our obedience to Him, even in our relationships. And the Lord Jesus Christ has left us an example. We see that example listed here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse number 3. But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. And the Lord Jesus Christ, when He came to the earth, He wasn't a freelancer, was He? But He was under the headship of the Father, and the Father, and we just understand the Lord in this way. We know that Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit of God, He's one God, but His work is very great, and He represents Himself to us and manifests Himself unto us so that we might understand Him and these persons of the Trinity. And so here the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is the only begotten Son of God, He was subject to the Father and desired to obey the Father and fulfill the Father's will, fulfill the Word of God in every way. And so from that, we have that headship of Christ. He is over all. That's being shown, and we're seeing that in our look-see about our consideration of the kingdom, of His kingdom, on Sunday mornings. So then when it comes down to our relationships, we have instruction from this one that is over us, who is our head, about how we are to be towards others. And we've looked at several of those relationships over the course of these messages. What brought us to these messages are passages that we'll even get back to here in Ephesians, speaking about the Lord's relationship with His church and how that is also the picture of or the marriage is related to that. And there's these relationships. We've taken a look at about being a sinner and how that we need to be submissive to the Father and to Christ. Namely, what it says in Acts 20:21, that the Apostle Paul, he preached repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's obedience there. We've taken a look at the family, right? Parents to the children. There's instruction from the Lord to the parents. There's instruction from the Lord to being a child. And we are to be submissive to Christ as children and submissive to our parents. Then it seems like as we consider these relationships, there's always two parties involved that we're looking towards and that we have this connection to in this submission and this obeying that we are given of the Lord to do. In regards to our work, the Lord has told us that we are to be submissive to Him and working and following the Lord and obeying in Him in our way and our attitude about that. We're also to be submissive to our employer in our case. We don't know anything about slavery. The context of the Scripture is more along that line. But we get that information about how we are to be towards our employer from those things. We see about the church, in the church, how we as members are to be submit to Christ and also submit to the church. We have an obligation one to another. We have a submission one to another that needs to be there in the operation of the church. We've seen about the relationship, our relationship as a child of God with government. It's ordained of the Lord, right? We're given instruction about how to be with that, and we are to be submissive to Christ and be submissive to the government. We've taken a look at several of those relationships. Myself, I've mentioned this one as a pastor, as a preacher in the church, or a pastor of a church. I'm to be submissive to Christ. Yes, I am a leader in the church, but there is an accountability and answering that I give to the church also. And so that Lord's put that there, and He's blessed us with that. There's that what we need to be doing is following Christ. And as long as I'm following the Lord Jesus Christ, follow me. All right? And we have that check that is there. So there's two things as a pastor. A pastor is never an entity unto himself. A lie was told on me about that. And I think by my action, it's understood that I don't believe the lie that was told. The lie that was told was, because we don't have any deacons. Now, how'd I get off on this? Because we don't have any deacons, I'm not accountable to anybody. Brethren, has that been my practice since I've been here? No, I've brought more before the church. I don't say this to blow my own horn, but it's the way it ought to be. That's the reason I'm trying to follow that. I've brought more before the church than had been brought before the church because it's the church's business. It's not a handful of us men's business. We as men, we have the the responsibility to lead in the church, but it's the church's business. It's not my business. It's the church's business. You've got as much a responsibility to be involved as I do, and I'm to tell you and remind you what the Word of God says about it. We need to all be in prayer seeking the face of the Lord in all of those things. What we want to look at this afternoon is being a husband. Okay? Being a husband. We've taken a look. There's something that I'm looking for here just to make sure that I get it said and covered. Yeah, we've talked about being a child. Okay, I mentioned that. What we'll look at here this afternoon is being a husband. Genesis chapter 2. Turn over here. These are all going to be familiar passages with you. And what we're looking for here is the instruction from the Lord to men that are husbands regarding their wife. Okay? That's what we're looking for. And that's what we've tried to do in all of these cases. There's a lot of things that's by example in the Scripture, and a lot of things that is there by example, and we learn things by example. We learn by the command of the Lord to one. You know, we men, we understand. Fathers, we understand that we're responsible for the education of our children. In the things of the world and spiritually. We're responsible for that. Mark it down. You can't get out of that. You're responsible for it. Because of what the Lord told Abraham, or said about Abraham, that he knew him, that he teaches his children right. All right? We get some of that from David. And we have instruction directly from the Scripture, which we reviewed in regards to being a child in that relationship that we were looking at. But what we're doing with this is we're taking a look at what the Lord says to husbands regarding their wives. Okay? What's the Lord say? Well, first here, in Genesis chapter 2, the Lord may cause Adam to sleep. There was none among the animals that was suitable for him. Okay? So that tells right there there's a dividing line between men and animals. It's just the animals are put here for reasons that the Lord has provided them for. But for fellowship, that's to be in marriage, animals they're not there. Okay? So the whole thing of bestiality and all that is wickedness and sin before God. And so that was part of the purpose of Adam considering and naming all the animals. It says that there was not one there found for him in verse number 20. And Adam gave names to all cattle and all the fowl of the air and every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet or suitable for him. So the Lord caused him to sleep, right? He took one of his ribs. From that rib, he made the woman. He brought her unto the man. This was God's gift unto Adam. In verse number 23 of Genesis 2, and Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." That's some pretty close cleaving, isn't it? That's some pretty close cleaving, and that's what the Lord expects in marriage. He expects not distance, but closeness, cleaving together. So to become one, that's the plan and what the Lord has ordained. And they shall be one flesh. And in the regard of God, here's somewhere very near in Genesis, it says that they were called Adam. Okay, that's in there. I didn't look that up, but it's in there. That their name would be one. That's a reason that when we marry, and as it is in our culture, this has come all the way down from the garden, is that the woman takes the name of the man. That's the way it's to be. Okay? And so it goes on, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. And so the Lord has ordained marriage here. That's what he has said that it should be. They are for one another. We'll see scriptures on about that. And so the Lord has made this. He's made this. Marriage comes from before sin. It comes out of the Garden of Eden. When they were innocent, when Adam and Eve were innocent, I believe, is a way to describe their state, and there was no sin. Everything was very good, right? Isn't that what the Lord said? It was very good. And so there it is. Let's read over here in chapter 3, okay? Let's just read this here. In verse number 15, here the Lord giving the gospel to them. And he's going to order some things going forward about how things should be. And I will put enmity, verse 15 of Genesis 3, between thee and the woman, speaking to Satan, speaking to the serpent, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. It's talking about the hatred that is there going to be between mankind and snakes. It's also talking about what the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come and do to Satan. Okay, the promise of the Lord doing something for mankind, for men, women, boys, and girls that they cannot do for themselves. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. Remember that, fellas. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Okay, I think there's an element here, Eve, you listen to another. Now you're going to have to listen to him and listen to him all the time. Your desire is going to be to him. That's the way it should be in a marriage. The wife's desire should be to her husband. She should be cleaving, he should be cleaving to her, and he is the head of the home. Verse number 17, and to Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree, he listened to his wife, and she's there. She can give good advice. She can give bad advice. She was beguiled. She was tricked. And when she had got caught up in it, I believe that Adam was right there and he said, uh-oh, she's dying. Now what am I going to do? And the choice that Adam made manifested that he loved her more than he loved God. Yeah, that's right. And what that did then is to all of us, it plunged us into sin. But because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife, rather than hearkening to the Lord, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Why? He's going to be out there working. And in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return to the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and into dust thou shalt return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was mother of all living. And unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Well, wait a minute. Didn't it say in chapter 2 that they were both naked and not ashamed? Well, what's the deal? The Lord is setting the precedent, and he's setting the rule that nakedness in public is to be covered up. Even nakedness in the home is to be covered up. The Lord, because of sin, we don't need to go around naked. And there's a lot of ways to be naked. And we need to evaluate ourselves in every way. You can be covered from head to toe with cloth and still be naked. Brother Jim, what are you talking about? Well, it can be so thin you can see through it. Or it can be so low or not there or so high that you can see things you shouldn't be seeing. Because remember, the Lord has designed men and women in the holy bond of marriage to cleave together. And we're going to see about a need that's there and the way God has created us. And we just don't need to be seeing that which does not belong to us. One more time. We do not need to be seeing what does not belong to us. Because we are moved and we are motivated by those things. It's that way. The Lord knows what He's doing. So they're clothed as an example of the way it's going to be in public and even in the home going forward. Now, in the intimacy that's there reserved for marriage, that's a totally different thing. But the Lord has said in public and before those children, you put your clothes on. Put your clothes on. It keeps down. It keeps down sin and wickedness. The Lord knows how we are. And so there we have marriage and some things related. What did the woman get out of sin? Well, her conception was increased. I've got some thoughts about that. I've shared with some of you about that, and you asked me about that, and we can talk about it. But it was increased. It was a certain way that the opportunity for a woman to conceive evidently was less. But now because of sin, and what the Lord's going to do and what His work and the greatness of His power and His working with His creation, her conception was increased because of sin or the possibility for her to conceive. What Adam got out of it was work. Why? Because he needs to work to take care of her. Right? And she needs to be there, a keeper at home, as the Scripture says, and we'll get off and take a look at those things and hear in the message to come. But he's to be there, and from the standpoint of husband, he's going to work to take care of both of them. He's going to work to support them both. That's the design of God and the way that it is to be. She's to be a wife, have a desire to him. It says there in verse number 16, "And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." And so that is the beginnings and the first mention of the wife's duty there in the home, which is a subject for another time. But there it is for the man. Matthew chapter 19, we go here and we see the Lord Jesus Christ, he expands on what the God the Father, or God, said there, if you will, in the garden, or the Lord Jesus there. He was creating all things, wasn't he? It says here in Matthew chapter 19, verse number 3, "The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto the Lord Jesus Christ, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female?" Okay, we saw that. "And said, For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh." The Lord Jesus Christ adds this, "What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." Okay, so marriage is there. Brethren, when you got her, you got her. And that's good. That's not a bad thing. Now these birds here, they were thinking, might not be good for a man to get married. Oh, may God help us with an attitude, huh? And there's a whole line of messages and teaching that can be done about what are you looking for in a spouse. To our young people, those of you that are here and not married, you need to look for the spouse that the Word of God says that you should look for. There's some evaluation to do in your own life. And then there's some evaluation to do in their life, because marriage is unto death. Marriage is permanent. Marriage is of the Lord. And you need to seek the face of God and the spouse that you will go with. And so here we see that marriage is ordained of the Lord, and a little bit about the order that is there. The Lord speaks to these, and as the account is in Mark chapter 10, they asked about the writing of divorcement, and the Lord said that Moses gave them that writing of divorcement because of the hardness of their heart. It's not supposed to be that way. Not supposed to be divorce. Now, how is it with man and sin? Man changes the way of God. It's the way it is. And so for any of you that have been divorced and you've been divorced, well, then just take it right there and go. You've been divorced and remarried, take it right there and go. And go on and serve the Lord with the days you've got left. Amen. That's the way it's to be. Start here and keep on plowing. That's what I believe that the Lord would have you to do. So, marriage and considering about the husband. What is it that the Scripture says directly to the husband regarding his wife? Okay, there's a lot mentioned in the Old Testament, and I'm sure there's things there that we could go and we could see. But what I was looking for is direct commands out of the Scripture for a man regarding his wife. Okay, and I tell you what. If I don't mention any that you think of, I want you to tell me, okay, after services, or shoot me an email or give me a call and let me know of some other passages maybe that you think of that I don't mention here, okay? But this is command out of the Scripture for a husband regarding his wife, okay? Because remember, this is a relationship that we have. We husbands, our wives are to be submissive unto us. They are there before the Lord to be submissive to the Lord. They have this instruction that's in the Scripture that we're going to get to about being submissive to their own husbands. But then we as husbands, we've got instruction from the Lord in regards to how we're to be to them. Okay? And we don't need to blow it off. Okay? There's actually a reason that I have pursued all these relationships in the order that I have. It's said about preachers and pastors many times, says, "Well, there he goes, hollering on the women again." Well, I've done everything I can do to take a look at every other relationship before we got to the woman. Okay, and there's a reason for that, okay? And we'll get through that in time. But husbands, what's the Word of God say to us? 1 Corinthians 7. Let's take a look over here. Commands of God in the Scripture to husbands regarding their wife. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Let's take a look here. Potatoes were good, weren't they? I had a chef's potato. When I heard that chef salad thing, I blew out on that, and I knew I was going to have a chef's potato. Because I put all the stuff that goes on the salad on the potato. Boy, it was good. I'm kind of sleepy. All right. 1 Corinthians 7, verse number 1. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, there's been communication from the church there at Corinth unto the apostle, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Why? Because when he does, he wants to keep on touching her. Brother Jim, don't talk about that stuff in public. It's just the way that it is. The whole world's screaming it, what they think about it in public. The media and what you read, what you look at, what you listen to and all that. It's just filth, filth, filth. Okay? Well, the Lord gives us in His Word how it ought to be. Right. Young men, men that aren't married, don't go touching women until you're married. And then enjoy the wife of your youth, and she enjoy you. That's of the Lord. That's the way it ought to be. Don't go experimenting, and don't go trying the field. And any friendship that you have with the girl, you make sure that you are respectable in that and right in that. Because the Lord said, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Why? Because the Lord's designed a woman to where a man will like touching her. It's just the way it is. Brethren, aren't you glad your wife's not like you? Right? I mean, that's the point. You know? And I think that comes across, and it comes across in my behavior, and sad to say, some of my treatment of my wife. I don't need her to want to be like me. Yuck. That wouldn't be any good. And so, but that's what the Lord's provided, that there be that we be, the husband and wife, be complementary to one another. Amen. Your old skin is rough and wrinkly, and the kids drug up some pictures the other day. I didn't know I'd been that young. Holding the children as a baby. Said, who is that guy? Boy, he is young. Now getting these wrinkles. Of course, I'm filling them up with fat. So that's my fight against it. But you want your wife having skin like you? You want your wife to be all muscle bound like you? No. No, it's not to be. The Lord knows what He's doing. Okay? And we don't need them to be different. We should want them to be the way they are. It's good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, there's a provision to avoid fornication, okay? Illicitness between men and women that are not married and such as that. The Lord's made a provision because there is a drive. There is that within men and women that there is a desire and a thing to be there together in an intimate fashion, but it's reserved for marriage. Amen. And that's the only place for it. It's not to be in any other way. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. One. He gave Adam one wife. All right, not a multitude. Well, Brother Jim, what about this? Yeah, I know. Several of those fellas in the Old Testament, they had a multitude of wives. Some even had concubines. That doesn't make it right. That doesn't make it right. What the design is go back to the beginning. The principle of first mention, Brother Chad mentioned that in the study of the book of the Bible, the first mention of marriage is what? A man and a woman. Very important. All right? And very, very important, very simple. But to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. She's not to be going around with other men. He's not to be going around with other women. And I tell you what, young people, you give your body to somebody that you don't marry, you're cheating on your husband or your wife to come. That's what you're doing. You're cheating on them. You're defrauding them. You're taking that which should be reserved for them, and you're giving it to another, and it should not be. people say, or people, I don't know, I try to get away from what I think people think. Because, you know, you can drive yourself crazy doing that. But we've had, there's been some that I've come near to and say, they say one of a couple things. Well, they're just young and there's no control in themselves. There better be. Because the whole thing is that God's ordered and commanded what He's commanded. Whether I've faulted it or not, it's still true. Whether it's a very difficult thing to resist, it's true. But you see, that's the reason the Lord says don't touch. Don't touch. If you don't touch, you don't know what it feels like to touch, and you won't want to keep going farther. The Lord knows what He's doing. Okay? And so they're to be reserved one for another. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power over her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power over his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinence. Help me out, Brother Mark. Incontinency. Thank you. Sometimes I just get stuck. I can't get past it. That intimacy is to be there between a husband and a wife, and that's part of what marriage is for. The Lord orders that we ought to seek His face regarding our spouse, as is the custom in our nation and country. You know, it's not a thing that really our families have anything to do about, but we as individuals seek out our spouse on our own. Other cultures operate different ways. We're dealing with our culture. When there is I don't want to get into the whole courting thing and all that. But there is that thing in marriage that the Lord's provided for that intimacy to be there, from which children can be yielded. And it's a thing that's a part of marriage there, and it's never a bargaining chip. If you hold that over the head of your spouse, that intimacy, because they do or don't do what you want them to do, you're wrong. It's not to be a bargaining chip. It's not to be that way at all. It's what it says, don't defraud one another. Now, granted, I upset Clarissa. She may not want me to come over and give her a big smooch too quick, because I can make her even more mad at me. So we have to be wise about that. Maybe some flowers, maybe some candy or something like that might help that out. I don't know. Or maybe take them out to supper. Or maybe just say, I'm sorry. I apologize. Be man enough to, when you are wrong, say you're wrong. All right? But to render as a man, to render as a husband, to render due benevolence unto our wife. And to understand, men, your body is your spouse's. My body does belong to Clarissa. And I can't take it out and go take it and join it to some other woman, because I belong to her. Brethren, your bodies belong to your wives. And that's the way it needs to be. We have, and there's an idea in our country, in our culture, the thing that we're independent. Well, we have independence in our land, but I tell you what, we've been saved to obey the Lord. and we need to obey the Lord. And it's a blessing that what the Lord has done for us in that. In Ephesians chapter 5, we kind of come full circle back to the passage that led us to the consideration of this headship, this topic, this grand topic of headship. And here, again, commands straight from the Lord to husbands regarding their wives. Okay, that's what we're looking for. And so, render due benevolence to your wives. Brethren, that's the way it's to be. And it's not to be held out on them in any way or for any reason. And to know that you do belong to your wife, and that's it. Okay? In Ephesians chapter 5, we come down here to verse number 25. It says, husbands, love your wives. Agapo. Agapo love. Self-sacrifice and love. Love your wife. That's what we're commanded to do. To love them. Love them. It goes on and it tells us, here the Lord is explaining about His church. He's using that of marriage to explain it. He says, love your wives this much, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. Love her the way Christ loved her, loved His church. He was willing to die for her. That's how much we're to love our wives. To die for them. Isn't that what it says? To be willing to give ourselves. The Lord Jesus Christ died for His church, did He not? Amen. Amen. And we are to love them that much. So the thing is, if we're to love them unto the giving of our lives for them, we need to have in mind that they are precious and valuable to us, don't we? Amen. The church was precious and valuable to the Lord, wasn't it? And isn't it? Indeed it is. Love your wives the way Christ did and gave Himself for it. It goes on down here in verse number 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. Scripture says if we love our wives, we love our own selves. I've told you about it. Young man, I think he's grown out of it by now. Years and years ago, his first name was Robbie, and he would come there to work, and in our morning break and lunch and even afternoon break, we would go out there to the machine shed that the maintenance department was in for break and just sit around and talk and all that. And he had just been married not a year, and he would fuss and complain about his stupid wife. Don't ever run down your spouse in front of anybody. If you got a problem with your spouse, go take care of that problem with them. Don't run them down. Don't run them down. When you run them down, you're running down yourself. It finally came to a point, not that I'm all wise or anything, but I just had heard enough of it. I said, Robbie, I said, your wife is stupid, right?
Yeah.
Said, well, she married you, didn't she? Yeah. Well, what's that say about you? Huh? I forget what he said. But yeah, you know, if she was a knucklehead, well, he was sure a knucklehead. And, and as he was running her down saying how stupid she was, well, look what she did. She went ahead and married him. He must have been at the top of the stupid pile, huh? You know, I mean, but think about it. You run down your spouse, men, if you run down your wife, you're running down yourself. Love her. Love her. She doesn't always do right. Well, tell her. Tell her what's right in the right good way. And love her. Love her. Love your wife the way Christ loved His church. And love her in particular. And love her as you love yourself. When we get down to it, we do love ourselves, don't we? That's the reason when something's coming your way, you duck. Right? You want to protect yourself. We need to do that same way about our wives. In Colossians chapter 3, take a look over here. I've always found this to be an interesting passage, and I don't know all of what it means, but it is indeed here. And it's, I think part of it has to do with the fact that two things. Men and women are different. Now, as you're married and you live together and you live together for years and decades, you learn one another's ways and your ways maybe kind of change and meld together. It's kind of a strange thing when you can something said, or you see something happen, and you know what the response will be of your spouse. Isn't that weird? We'll be driving down the road, and you'll see such a thing, and you say, "Yeah, yeah." Right? It happens. It's because you become one. Start thinking alive. Start thinking alive and enjoying and the enjoyment of that relationship. Here in Colossians chapter 3, to the church of Colossae, in verse number 19, the scripture says, "Husbands, love your wives." We saw that to the church at Ephesus. "And be not bitter against them." Bitter. Well, why would a man become bitter? This word comes, or synonym for it, and it comes from the word, or synonym for it would be sharp, or acridity, which means sharp or harsh. It's kind of like, I think ultimately it comes from the same word that maybe the word acidity would come from. You get some bad acid that's there, and you get over it, and you breathe it, or you get it in your eyes, and oh man, it just hurts. Don't be sharp. Don't be bitter against them. Why? Well, it's wrong. Who's it good to be bitter against? The root of bitterness we should avoid. Amen? Again, in any case. But I think in marriage there is that thing that the relationship does have to continue to be worked on. If you don't work on a car, it's going to lay down on you. If you don't work on your wheelbarrow, it's going to lay down on you. If you don't work on some piece of equipment or work on your house, it's going to fall apart. And tell you what, we need to work on our marriages too. We need to remember what we saw in them that was so sweet and so great and so wonderful at the time that we first saw them and had a desire for them and married them. We need to go back and think about those things and bring that up to today. Because, see, I think bitterness can come in because we get familiar. Maybe we get selfish. Maybe we want everything done our way. Again, what I said earlier on, brethren, do you want your wife to be like you? No, I don't want my wife to be like me. I wouldn't like being married to me. Right? Think about it. I think that the bitterness can be there is because, you know, here's comments that are made. You just don't understand. Why don't you understand? Well, she may not have the background that you've got to understand things. But I was working on the rear end of that Safari that we have. Clarissa's got the capability to understand about differentials and axles and how all that goes together. But if she came out there and I was looking for her to help me or to do something on it or whatever, why should I be hard and bitter towards her when she doesn't know anything about it? I know maybe that's a poor example. But if they don't know, even if they do know and they don't do it the way we say, should we be bitter towards them? We didn't know the way of salvation. And the Lord wasn't bitter towards us, was He? Amen. So, we might be bitter towards them because they don't think like us. Maybe we're better off and we'll be helped better by them not thinking like us. I'm not talking about agreement. I'm not talking about lack of submission to the leadership of the husband. But they are to be a help suitable for us. Their intuition and their vantage point may well be something that we need, brethren. May the Lord help us not to be bitter towards our wives. In Revelation, hang on to this thought, this same word is used over here in Revelation chapter 8, verse number 11. Take a look at this, and maybe we can understand about the meaning of it. Revelation chapter 8, we'll pick it up in verse number 8. And the second angel sounded as it were a great mountain burning with fire and was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood. These are the judgments and wrath of God being poured out upon the earth during the time of tribulation. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of the waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many died of the waters because they were made bitter. Boy, that's pretty stout, isn't it? Don't be bitter. But love them. And understand that I'm not saying that every marriage is going to have problems and issues. I'm not talking about that we just put a pair of rose-colored glasses on and say we got nothing wrong. We got something wrong. What we need to do then is communicate. Go to the Lord together. Get it worked out. Remember, in our marriages, brethren, we're to be manifesting the fruit of the Spirit towards our wives. That's right. That's right. Not just to the world, but to our wives and our family and children, too. Over here in chapter 10 of Revelation, while you're there, in chapter 10, verse number 8, and the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea. That this is one is speaking to John upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be sweet, shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. Husbands, love your wives. The contrast there is don't be bitter against them. Don't be bitter because they don't think like us. Don't be bitter against them because they don't do things the way that we would do them, or they would understand things that there's no way for them to understand. You know, I don't understand about cooking like what Clarissa understands. I don't understand about taking care of children the way my wife understands. You know what? I'm glad she knows those things. Would I want her to be like me in total and complete? You know, I think sometimes our attitudes can get sideways and all that, and maybe that the fulfillment of our anger or shooting off her mouth or whatever is that we'd want a carbon copy of ourselves. And I think if that showed up, we'd probably really be in a cat fight then. Right? We couldn't even get along with ourselves. May the Lord help us to consider those things. 1 Peter chapter 3. This is instruction from the Lord straight to husbands about how to be unto their wives. This is what the Lord's given us, brethren, in our relationship to our wife. In 1 Peter chapter 3, likewise ye husbands, verse 7, I'm sorry, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Boy, there's a lot in that passage. Dwell with them according to knowledge. You know what a synonym for this word knowledge is? A synonym for this word knowledge is science. When you think about science, what do you think about? I like physics. Brother Doug wants to go to the lab and concoct something that makes a lot of smoke. There's detail in science, isn't there? We're talking about the science of a machine or the science of an engine. Why not go ahead and put those rings in there 10,000ths bigger, right? Right, Brother Jerry? It wouldn't be any good, would it? Thing lock up in a hurry. Why not put the right kind of oil in Brother Burt's differential? It'd all be for naught, won't it? Particular little details. Science. Electrons and protons and neutrons and the difference that though their configuration makes in the very elements and things that that we can't even see with our naked eye, it makes a difference between us having something that'll burn or having water to drink. Right? Science. Dwell with them according to knowledge, brethren. Learn about them. That's a command, isn't it? I'll tell you what, it breaks my heart. I try not to get angry. But it breaks my heart for a brother to say, or anybody to say, any man to say, said, well, my wife's got something going on with her, and I just don't understand about those things. I want to go, now that's getting in the flesh. I want to grab a hold of him and shake him up and rough him up a little bit. And I said, brother, you need to learn about you. She's you. You better get in there in the midst of that thing and find out what's going on so you can know how to pray for her. Yeah, granted, you may not be able to help her. You know, from the standpoint of, say she's got some kind of illness or some kind of a thing, but find out about it. Learn about it. Show you care about her in finding out about it. She's your other half. We'd sure find out about ourselves, wouldn't we? Yeah. Amen. Something to think about. The Lord says, dwell with them according to knowledge. Find it out about them. Don't understand it. Seek it out. Look over here and hold your place here in 1 Peter chapter 3 and look over here in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Last verse of the book of 2 Peter. Same word. But grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Same word. Brethren, ye husbands, likewise ye husbands, back in 1 Peter 3, verse 7, dwell with them according to knowledge. Is there anything about Jesus that you say, well, I just don't even know about that? Huh? No. We need to learn and know everything we can know and learn about the Lord. Amen? And we all should do so. It goes on to say here in 1 Peter 3, verse 7, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. It's been given to our wives to conceive and to bear children and deliver them. That's the way that is, and the Lord's ordained that. And I'm glad I don't have to do that. Because I think probably when it gets down to it, brethren, we're not mentally equipped to be able to do that. But the Lord has equipped them because the Lord's made it that way. But I tell you what, we need to be with them there all the way and every way that we can be. Would you want them as strong as you or stronger? And granted, there's always exceptions to things. And then a man or a husband become ill, it would be maybe that the wife would come at a point that she would be stronger than her husband. But in the general course of things, it is just that way. Do you want a wife that's muscle-bound and strong like you? No, that's not what the way the Lord's made it. And thank God, that's good, isn't it? That's the way that it is. And it's not a thing of keeping them under our finger, is it? But it's the design of the Lord for that companionship. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Know about them. Understand about them. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Things come along, you know, and just people are different. But in the general sense, there's things that come along. Things come along fast. Things come along quick, and just maybe it's just I don't mean this as slam, but a woman just can't handle or can't decide what to do in a certain thing. And may the Lord help us. It's given to us to be able to make those decisions and do a split second reaction and such as that. Amen. Give honor to them, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel. But listen to this. And as being heirs together of the grace of life, don't fail in this. Don't fail in doing this. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell, give. being heirs together, the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. We got bitterness. We don't know about our wives. We don't render them due benevolence. We don't regard and honor them as the weaker vessel. Our prayers can be held up. You want that? You want your prayers held up? No. May the Lord help us in that. The relationship of a husband, the command of the Lord to a husband. These are the only scriptures that I could find directly to husbands about their wives. If you think of or come across some others, I want to know about them. I want to add them to my notes about this subject. But brother, may the Lord help us in that. This is one part of our lives in which we honor the Lord. Fail? Yeah, I failed. But praise the Lord, He's long-suffering. And praise the Lord, my wife's long-suffering. She'll cut me some slack to be able to get it right. And may the Lord help in that. It'll be good, right? It'll be being heirs together of the grace of life. Join heirs together. I thank the Lord. My wife and I, we're heading to the same place to be with the Lord. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. That's grand unity.